Howdy, folks. I'm fixing to tell y'all about Texas, nicknamed the Lone Star State.
I'm particularly fond of these. I pulled them out of a place on Midgard called Texas.
Don't mess with Texas?
That's the message.
I'm Walker, and I'm Texas Ranger.
Anything for Salinas.
Welcome to this week's episode of Texas Slang for Crazy. This week we're discussing the Huebner Onion House. Traffic in San Antonio isn't exactly great. And yes, I know if you're in Houston, it takes an hour to go from Houston to Houston. Austin, I hear you. LA, New York, we've got it. I'm just saying, it's like a slow speed chase at all times. But here's the thing. If you're stuck on Bandera Road, there's a chance you're going to drive next to a gas station, an extended stay hotel, and the Huebner Onion House. It's really jarring to see an older home in the middle of a series of commercial buildings, especially out here because things are kind of popping up like mushrooms. The home was built in 1858 for Joseph Huebner. Huebner was an Austrian jeweler who ended up setting up the one-story limestone house. He initially determined that he was going to just have it be temporary, binding the stones with creek mud. It was going to be his homestead. But in 1862, he expanded the home, added a porch, covered the balcony, and opened it up as a stagecoach inn. Traveling between the small city of Bandera and the larger city of San Antonio was very difficult at the time. Not only was the muddy soil terrible for horses and carriages, the local Native Americans weren't exactly happy to see more people trying to settle their land, and they would often attack. Located between the two towns, the stagecoach inn was pretty much a no-brainer stop for the night. You could get a decent meal, sleep, not get attacked. People also stopped there on their way to California through the Oregon Trail, so it was hopping. Huebner made a lot of money from this. He ended up expanding his empire and opened a horse stand next to the Alamo. From there, he took care of people's horses and would take people around the city like an early day cab system. Things went really well, until they didn't. By the mid-1870s, Native American attacks had gone up dramatically, and understandably so. All of Huebner's cattle were stolen out from under him. He demanded compensation from the local government, and they agreed to help, but they never delivered on the money. Huebner passed away in 1882. The recorded cause of death has disappeared over time, but there's a whole story tied into it that you'll hear all the time when people are recanting ghost stories. It's believed there was a terrible accident. People would often transport whiskey and other items together, and in this particular case, evidently they were shipping kerosene and whiskey, and they had dropped it off at Huebner's house. He decided to drown his sorrows in a bottle of whiskey, but the bottle he picked up was kerosene. Tasted a little weird, he continued to drink, and then supposedly he died. He's buried on the property across the creek from his home, but he left no will. The building became a home again in the 1930s, this time to Judge John F. Onion and his wife Harriet. They lived there for 53 years. Judge Onion did record creaking stairs, but he was very quiet about his belief in ghosts as he didn't want people to think he was superstitious. He was a local judge after all. Mrs. Onion, however, was a beloved local teacher and recorded reports of cold spots and her own experiences. After the Onion family left, the house remained vacant for a long time. Visitors have reported activities that they can't explain. Plates shatter with no one in the room. A laundry press that's untouched will start to hiss steam without any interaction. Piano playing and horse hooves can be heard with no one around. Orbs have been recorded in the home and cold spots are heavily documented. And some believe that Joseph Huebner still walks the grounds. But to be fair, there's an equal number of people who think the haunting is totally bunk. The years have not been kind to this home. There are multiple news stories about people breaking into the home, either to ghost hunt or to complete acts of vandalism. You actually see the vandalism ones pretty frequently out here. The area around the home is also deceptively large. It's really easy to miss the creek and the trees when you're right next to a hotel with a really big parking lot. Could the noises just be coming from teenagers, wildlife, and would-be ghost hunters? As of this recording, the Leon Valley Historical Society is working to restore the home. The 36-acre natural parkland is still open for visiting during the day. And to date, the house, they've put a new subfloor in And the progress is still a little bit slow going because obviously with the pandemic and all sorts of stuff, it's been a little crazy. They're hoping to reopen at some point in time for visitors and school trips. All I can ask is that if you are a big ghost hunter or you're really, really interested in this kind of history, wait it out. Wait until you can get an invitation to go in, because as like I said, the century has not been kind to this place. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Texas Slang for Crazy. I hope you have an incredible weekend. If there's something you want us to cover, you have questions, you want to know more about how Texans function, feel free to email me at txslangforcrazy@gmail.com. I know that sounds kind of funny, but if you're not from here, some things can seem a little off, like our homecoming mums. Happy to explain the whole process. We're all over social media. We're on Facebook at Texas Slang for Crazy. We're on Twitter at SlangTX. And we're at TX Slang for Crazy on Instagram. Talk to you soon.